Oh, I love talking about music. My entire radio career, even when I was in my bedroom in the mid-1970s in Billings, Montana, it was always about sharing the stories of the music. It's always happened. Arrow.net, A-R-R-O-E.net. We are Unplugged and Totally Uncut with Andrew Marshall from NBC's The Voice.
How's it going? Good morning.
How are you doing today, Andrew?
I'm doing great. It's great to be on the line with you.
Man, I'll tell you what, you got some energy this early in the morning. What did you have to do to physically and mentally get prepared for this? Because you know how we creative minds are. We like to really bring in the energy and showcase the talent.
You know, I'm fortunate to be blessed that after a cup of coffee, or even like before a cup of coffee, I have some energy. But once I get that cup of coffee in me, I'm ready to go. I love the morning. I love watching the sunrise. So definitely fortunate to be kind of a morning person. I don't know. I mean, most people need that cup of coffee, and I definitely am one of those people. But yeah, I think just coffee and no good attitude, maybe.
So what's your favorite part of the coffee? Is it the actual smelling of the coffee grounds, or is it when it's sitting there and it's, you know, the grounds are becoming coffee?
I mean, I think it's the whole experience. I mean, when you walk into a coffee shop and you smell those grounds, you know you're about to get something good.
Yeah.
But definitely just sitting down and, you know, once you have that brewed cup and you just, not everything's peaceful and no one else is awake and you're just like, this is my one moment of peace for today. Just sitting with my cup and in front of a window or outside, or that's definitely my favorite part of it.
And isn't it kind of odd how they've never ever had, you know, a prohibition with coffee, but yet it'll sit there and play with our brain cells all day long?
You're right, honestly. They say caffeine is a drug. So, I mean, I agree. It's that no one wants to talk about that. We're asking the real questions here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so when you go out on that stage, NBC's The Voice stage, the adrenaline is just racing through you. As that creative person, how do you keep it under control so that your voice doesn't quiver? It shows up on time and in tune?
It's all about focusing on the breath, honestly, because no matter what your heart's doing or what your body's doing, you know, you can't do anything. You can't produce a audible sound if you don't have a proper breath. And so it's all about getting that breath under control and just planting yourself in a way. So if you can't, if you're so nervous, which, you know, I've had those situations where I'm on stage and I'm more nervous than I normally am, you know, you got to just plant yourself and take a deep breath and make sure, like, that's what the practice is for. It's just making sure you know. Because, you know, when you're just casually playing, you don't think about taking a breath before you sing. You just do it, you know. But when you're in that kind of situation, it's like if you take too short of a breath, you're just going to be like, you know. So that's the biggest thing. And just, you know, and I also tell I have this mentality, too. It's just like, if I mess this up, I'm going to be so mad at myself. So those are the two things that are always in my head. Take a breath, and if you mess this up, Andrew, you're going to be so mad at yourself, so don't mess it up.
One of the daily disciplines that I did, especially during the early days of radio, is that I would race down the hallway at the radio station, and then what I wanted to do was I wanted to be able to get my breath under control immediately, and so it was an exercise that I would do.
That's really smart. That's a really good... I should do that.
It plays with the head, though, because, man, when you want to breathe and you're not allowing yourself to breathe, you know where your mind is going. It takes it off what you're supposed to be doing. The focus is, you know, it's like, nah, I'm not showing up.
Totally.
Yeah. All right, so you got to be open and honest with me, man. You're right there. You're on Team Blake now, but you were stolen from Nick Jonas. What is that like as that artist? I mean, that's two completely different people and creative hearts.
Yeah, it is. It's so cool. I mean, honestly, me going against Rain was so fun. You know, she became one of my closest friends on the show. We were so happy to both go through. So, you know, there's no real, you know, bitterness between me and Nick. I like to kid around like there is, but really isn't. I think it's just another opportunity to work with a superstar in the music industry. And, you know, yeah, Blake's country, but, you know, Blake is an incredible performer and singer at the core of it all, and he's an incredible musician. And I think just from working with him during Knockouts, like, it's evident, like, he just listens to you and he really tries to pick out, like, what part of your performance needs to be worked on the most. Like, he critiques you, and I think that's really cool. And so, you know, being able to work with two out of the four coaches on that panel of coaches is, you know, something that not every contestant here can say that they did. So I think it's really, really cool. And I, you know, I like country music, and I like all types of music. So even though I lean more pop, so, you know, Nick would make the most sense for me. I think it was a really cool opportunity, and you know, obviously just blessed to still be in this competition. So,
well, and Nick has become a master of that high falsetto voice. Did he lean in on you on something like that, saying, you know, take it up a little bit higher? I want to hear how, you know, what your range is.
You know, we never really had a chance to really strictly work on that. But I mean, I think that in the battle, I was able to use a little bit of my falsetto, which was really cool. You know, with, you know, the stuff that I was harmonizing with Rain, and then I did this little like falsetto flip thing. But yeah, I mean, that's the one thing I'm kicking myself. I should have asked him how he really gets that. You know, he has such a distinct sound that just cuts through it when he does his falsetto. And the falsetto is such a light, airy tone, so it's like, it's so easy to get lost in the mix, but he just has that ability. So maybe I can ask him sometime if I have the opportunity to.
Well, I wish I would have been a fly on the wall when you were creating those harmonies with Rain, because I mean, the way that you guys, you know, just flawlessly just put those harmonies together. Come on, dude, that just doesn't happen overnight. What did you guys do?
I mean, Rain is really, really, you know, musically intelligent when it comes to arranging stuff. I remember when we were sitting down on our first rehearsal, and I was like, I knew where I wanted harmonies and stuff, but I, you know, I'm not as good at finding those harmonies as she was. And she, like, you know, sat down, she, like, you know, produced like this, like, basic thing on, like, you know, Logic on her computer after we had rehearsed, and then we just kind of bounced it back and forth. I was like, all right, maybe we try this one, maybe do a lower one. So I credit a lot of that arranging to Rain herself. I mean, she is really, really great at doing that, and it's evident with the way that she produces her original stuff too. But we definitely drew from the original song a lot. Because there's, you know, very subtle harmonies on those ahs and stuff that we tried to pull apart. And some of the harmonies that I did, I just was like, I like the under harmony because I don't like to, I think the under harmony typically sounds better. I don't know. But yeah, it was definitely a team effort, but there was some situations where Rain was just like, how about this? I was like, this is really cool. Especially that whole bridge section.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need to both do something that's kind of individual. I was like, that's the big thing. I was like, let's do something individual each to show off a little bit of our voice, something that we haven't showed off in the rest of the song. And then we got to come together and build to this last chorus.
Well,
and then I had like a general idea, but she was the one that was just like, whoa. I was like, that's really cool, you know?
So how do you handle an oh wow moment like that though? Because I mean, you come on, musically you're a fan just as much as you are the performer. But when you have when the harmonies happen, it's like natural harmonics. So is it an oh wow moment for you?
It's an oh wow moment when you finally, you know, get that blend. You know, I think that was the biggest thing with, like, you know, two different styles of voices. Like, we have to try to blend on those top notes.
Yeah.
And, you know, just hammering those. Because, like, well, I mean, you know, we pretty quickly got down our own parts, like the parts that we were just singing individually. But that's what we spent most of our time trying to focus in on. It was just, like, how can we make ourselves... We want to be a true duet. Like, we didn't want it to be, like, when we come together, we don't want someone to be outshining the other, because that's just a sign of us not working well together, you know? So, like, we had no real reason to not really focus in on that. So that was the biggest thing. It's just like a cappella singing, just like doing it note by note. And I used to be in an a cappella group in college and in high school.
Geez,
so that was the stuff we have to do is like we'd take like every single pitch, we'd like start, and it'd be out of time, obviously, like not like, and we'd just be like, all right, hold this note, and then we'd do hold the next note, and then you just see how the vowel shapes are and stuff like that, which is like little like minute things that people don't really realize you have to do to really try to get a duet to sound better. And that's why a cappella music, really good a cappella music, is incredible, because they really focus in on those vowel shapes.
You being in that a cappella, you saying that says a lot, because when you watch your performance on NBC's The Voice, you don't just sing those words. You can physically see those words coming to life in your body language. So being a part of that a cappella, you've got to really understand the lyrics, don't you?
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, in a cappella, you sometimes sing the weirdest syllables ever. Just like, you know, imitating a guitar, you're imitating a bass, you're imitating a synth or something. Like, it's too funny. And I also, I really appreciate that. First off, thank you so much. I think I credit that, too. I was in a boy band in high school. They had mentioned that briefly on the show. And I think that, in a lot of ways, that band kind of broke me out of my shell a little bit more, even though it was so long ago in high school. I tried to, you know, channel that with this song, because Adore You is just such a great pop tune. And I mean, Harry Styles does an amazing job with it, both live and on the track itself.
So, you know, to sing a Harry Styles song, you know, there are people that, sure, he came from the boy band and all that kind of stuff, but my God, as a solo musician, this dude is going to make some serious history. You're now part of that story because you sang that song.
I know. I'm so great. It's so awesome that, you know, Nick picked this song because I freaking love Harry Styles. Like, especially, like, as of the last year when he dropped his new album, Fine Line, I started listening to it, and then I couldn't stop listening to it. And then I was like, oh, he has another album, too. And then I started listening to his, you know, his original, his first album, just the Harry Styles, like, self-titled album. And I was like, that song blows me away. I mean, that album blows me away, too. The production on it and the songwriting is so good. And you're right, it's just so distinct from One Direction stuff. And it's just so interesting because I wonder, you know, like, I don't know how much writing credits he has on any of those songs. I know that some of the guys had writing credits towards the end of that band's existence, but I wonder, like, was he just bottling that up the whole time? Like, that kind of music and that kind of style? He just has something, he has that thing, you know? And I think he's just an incredible, I mean, even his most recent Grammy performance with Watermelon Sugar, like, I watched that and I was like, that performance just inspired me. Like, it was just, to the stage presence, it's the whole package, the presence, the voice, the songwriting. I mean, the guy's an animal.
Growing up on the East Coast, were there any musical influences? And the reason why I bring that up is because I just know that this country is so regional when it comes to a lot of the sounds. I know that because of modern day technology, we all sound like we're listening to the same thing, but that's not true at all, because the East Coast really is seriously different than other places.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can consider John Mayer to be an East Coast guy. He's from Fairfield, Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
The reason I know that is because I'm literally a diehard fan, which is pathetic. But, yeah, I mean, you definitely get exposed to, like, it's so interesting. Like, you know, especially coming, you know, having been out to L.A. and talking to contestants and just hearing their musical influences, it's so true. I think that regionally, you know, you get a lot, you know, Southern people really love country music, whereas, like, people like country music up here, but it's just not as popular, you know? And so I think the East Coast has, like, a really good, you know, variety of music that comes in. I don't think we favor anything more so than anything else, at least in the Boston area. Maybe I'm wrong, but once you talk about the Dropkick Murphys, I mean, everyone has their love for them. Everyone, when they hear Shipping Out to Boston, people are going to start, you know, whatever, Irish step dancing or whatever. Like, that just gets Boston fans going. But yeah, I mean, I think that the region just allows me to try to like as much music as possible. I don't know, what are your experiences with that?
Well, I'll tell you what, when you were talking about that people in the Northeast and stuff like that, you know, that really don't know much about the country music vibe and all that kind of stuff. The one time I talked with Big and Rich, they did it from New York City, and I about fell out of my chair because I'm going, what are the country guys doing up there in New York City? Come on, get back down here on the farm, buddy. Let's make this happen down here.
No, I know, but I mean, every time I hop in the car with my mom, she's listening to country music, so I mean, maybe there's more country fans here than I know, but at least the people that I talk to, I mean, I love country music. It's a great genre of stuff, but I don't know.
Can you listen to the radio as a real person? And the reason why I bring that up is because one of the things that the Andrews sisters once said, they said that every time they got in the car or turned on any radio, that they always felt a need to try to find the harmony and take it a different direction. And with you, with the same thing, I mean, do you listen to the radio like a real person?
I'm always listening to my iPod, my iPhone. I think iPod is like an old person term at this point, because no one has just an iPod anymore. But I'm always plugging my phone in and listening to, I have this bad problem where I listen to like the same albums over and over again, or the same five songs that I'm listening to at the moment. I don't typically listen to the radio as much, which is sad. You know, I think I should more. I'm either listening to sports talk radio, or I'm listening to whatever song I'm really into, or the mix that I'm working on, or, you know, it's sad because I have trouble discovering new music unless I really go and search for it, because I'm always listening, you know, especially when I'm gigging, I'm just listening to music that I'm going to cover at some point. So I definitely think I need to listen to the radio more, just to kind of like, okay, what is really popular right now? And I mean, Spotify charts will tell you one thing, but I think being on the, like, listening to the radio and seeing what's getting played throughout the day multiple times a day is going to really give a good indication of where music is heading. And I think sometimes I'm behind the curve on that, which is bad. But, you know, maybe this conversation will spark me to not plug my phone in anymore and just listen to the radio instead.
So now you brought up something very interesting with the sports talk radio and stuff like that. You know, with podcasting and streaming taking place, if someone came to you, Andrew, and said, "I need you to host a sports talk podcast," what would your thing be? What sport would you chase?
What sport would I? Probably football. Yeah. Probably football. I mean, I love a lot of all sports. But I think I really follow football the most. It's just so manageable. It's only, well, now it's going to be 17 games, which is crazy. Unlike, you know, if I was doing baseball, like, that's like, what, 100 games? Like, man, you can't catch me watching 100 games of baseball. But I love going to a baseball game. But, yeah, I love football. Football is, you know, just it's such a, you know, me and my dad bond over that sport all the time. I just have the most vivid memories of us jumping up and down watching Tom Brady take another ring, and even seven rings now. How many rings?
Seven. Well, no, he's going to get eight. They're going to do it again because he's Tom Brady.
They're bringing the whole squad back next year. They're going to do it again. Patrick Mahomes will give him a run for the money. I'm surprised Patrick lost, to be honest, but that's a whole other take.
So now, do you have to watch your vocals and stuff like that? Because I can't go to a live sporting event because I'm a voiceover actor, and if I destroy my vocals, then boy, I'm going to be out of work for a week or two. Now, do you have to watch your voice too?
I should, you know, but I guess maybe I haven't been too crazy to like lose my voice from a sporting thing. My dad, on the other hand, would probably lose his voice. He's definitely, it's so funny. He just screams at the TV. I'm like, "Dad, calm down. It's okay. It's only just something important. Like, it's going to be okay. Like, I promise you." Like, I remember the Atlanta-New England Super Bowl, and he was like, "Oh, my God," screaming. I was like, "Dad, don't stop leaving. Don't stop." And then what do you know? 28-3? They won it. that's a real cause for concern, just like worrying about your voice. I think vocal health is something that, you know, in the past year and a half, I've become a lot more aware of, because I was in a wedding band for about a year and a half, and I wasn't singing properly, and I didn't know it. When you start singing every single weekend, you know, like 3 hours a night, you quickly realize you're not singing the right way, because you get a ton of pain in your larynx. And so I actually was in vocal therapy for a while. Got like, this term sounds a lot more scientific and worse than it was, but it's called muscle tension dysphonia, which I got like diagnosed with. I don't know if that's the right term, but, you know, went to, you know, vocal therapy, and that was a big thing with the show too. You know, I just kind of learned what my mixed voice is, and, you know, coming to the show, I've been able to really build and grow off that. And that's been one of the most rewarding, exciting parts of the show, is just being able to develop that voice, which can become a more powerful voice as you grow and extend it. So I have this new thrill for singing that I haven't had in a long time, just because I'm excited to grow in that regard. And it's just fun to just like grow my range, like singing, belting, that was a B flat. Like that's a note I never thought that I could hit, you know, a year ago. Like I was barely hitting G's in my wedding band because my throat was bothering me so much. Yeah. So, I'm definitely more aware of being aware of my voice and trying not, you know, hydrating more and, you know, massaging, which was weird, massaging your vocal cords and stuff. So, but it's all stuff you got to do if you want to take this professionally and do it for a living. And, you know, like you said, like, I'll probably not be screaming at a sports game anytime soon.
Dude, you got to come back to this show anytime in the future. Andrew, man, you've always got a place. Always, always, always.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me. This was fun. I mean, I'm enjoying a cup of coffee. We're, you know, shooting the breeze. Like, we can do this anytime you want. Like, you got my number now, right?
You bet I do. You bet I do. You be brilliant today, okay, sir?
Thank you. You too.